Would you pray with me?
Holy Lord, we thank you for your words that have been shared with us today. We pray that in the story of the conversion of Paul, that we might see the new life that is available at all times to all of your children. In the story from the breakfast by the sea, we pray that we might see the gentle and compassionate nature of your Son Jesus. And from the book of Revelation, that we might understand and proclaim the gloriousness of you. May we hear it as your word and know it as your truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you experienced the same thing I did when you went away to college or whenever you left home, perhaps when you got married. How home life was never the same after that. Life had gone on at home. Things had been changed, or things had been moved. Your parents had had recent lives and experiences that you knew nothing about except for what was shared around the dinner table during visits. We always wanted to hate to admit it, but you know this old adage is true. You can never go home again. We are different people in different places. Reverend Peter Woods, in his blog, I Am Listening, wrote about our John passage today, and he shares the following. Living in counseling as I do in the beauty of Port Alfred, or as the locals call it, at the Cowie, referencing the river that mouths into the sea there, it's in South Africa. He says, I find myself using the analogy of the river often. I refer particularly to the reality that you cannot put your hand into the same river twice. It is a Zen saying that highlights the Buddhist emphasis on impermanence. You see, the river is always changing. And so the second time you put your hand into the waters, the river has already changed. It isn't the same river. Yes, there are moments that we can encapsulate and recall vividly from time to time. But the truth is, we live our lives in chronos time, chronology, minute by minute. It's linear. Chronos time is that we keep going from 1 minute to the next, moving forward. You can't go back. And what we do in that kind of time is everything that we say or do is in response to something that has been said or done just prior to or sometime in the past. For the most part, we live our lives reacting to what has just preceded the present. And this, I think, is where we find the disciples in our gospel. In the verses preceding our passage today, they had met Jesus in the locked room. 10 of the disciples twice. Thomas was added in the second one, so there were 11 at the second. And then the author of the Gospel of John writes, just prior to our passage today, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in His name. It would seem that that was the original end of the gospel. But someone added this postscript of John chapter 21. And if you read verses 20 to 25, it would appear that the writer was the beloved disciple spoken of often in the Gospel of John. Now, when we start to read this verses 1 through 19, it would seem that the disciples had taken a step backwards from when they had been with Jesus in that locked room. They seemed indecisive. They seemed unsure. Remember, in John's Gospel, they have already now received the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was with the 11 in that upper room, He breathed on them. And that was the author of John's Pentecost event. That's when they received the Holy Spirit. And it would appear that out of fear or confusion or just from the despair of losing their leader, they're dispirited again. So Peter decides to go back and do what he used to do. Fishing. It's like he doesn't know what to do. And so he decides to do something that he used to do a while back and was probably pretty good at. It was a way to keep busy, not think too much. Have you ever had so much said or happened to you that your brain just kind of freezes and you can't think anymore? You just want to shut down. I think that's where Peter is, as well as the other disciples. And they fished all night. Didn't catch a thing. That will only make a fisherman more depressed. So by morning, we have a group of tired, frustrated, dispirited disciples. Now normally, I think they would be able to deal with this. I'm sure there were many trips where they didn't catch anything or very little. Every fisherman or woman tells of stories when they fish weren't biting, or how they didn't catch anything. But in the morning light, there's a voice from the shore. Put your nets down on the other side. And they do. And they catch a large amount of fish. It's only then that someone, the beloved disciple, says, "It's the Lord." Now, whether or not the beloved disciple recognized Jesus on the shore 100 yards away, or he had just experienced this miracle, and this person had said, "Put the net down the other side," so it must be the Lord. We don't know. But somehow he knew it was the Lord. And Peter, in his usual bull in a china shop way, jumps out of the boat, swims to shore. We can only wonder why the others didn't follow Peter, but then somebody had to bring in the fish in the boat. And here's an interesting little piece in this story. Jesus tells them to bring some fish that they had just caught. But even before he tells them to bring the fish, he's already got fish cooking on the fire. He didn't need their fish. He already had it. He called them out of their despair and fed them with bread and fish. Now, where have we heard of bread and fish before? The Gospel of John is very interesting, and we're recognizing this in our Bible study, because John, the author of John, will often refer to or say something that makes you kind of think of a previous story that had been told. And there's a connection that's made somehow in some way. Fish and bread were the same meal that was served to the 5,000. Remember that miracle? 5 loaves and 2 fish. And it encouraged people to share the food that they brought for themselves And there was so much that in the end they collected 11 baskets of fruit afterwards. Something's happening here. With the abundance of fish that the disciples caught, it's not needed because of the food that Jesus provided. Not just physical food, but spiritual food. Remember, he said, "I am the bread of life." And we get to the reason then for this postscript. To call Peter from the despair of his three denials of Jesus. Peter was suffering from his rejection of Jesus. And this was an intervention by Jesus. And not only that, in the very early church, remember, the Gospel of John was not written until about 90-100 AD. In the very early church, people looked down on Peter because of his rejection of Jesus. And this postscript is a correction to that. The rock on which Christ was going to build his church was stuck. He tried to go home, as it were, by going fishing. He felt powerless to continue being a disciple and decided to go back to the way things used to be. But things could not be that way anymore. Not since he had met and followed Christ. The early church needed its leader. Things could not go back to the way they used to be. What we are experiencing then in this story, with a large, abundant catch of fish and with Christ asking Peter the three questions, "Do you love me?" What we are experiencing is the healing power of grace and the abundance of grace. Again, Peter Woods writes, "Their efforts to ply their previous trades are fruitless. That is, until Jesus appears on the beach, unrecognizable. His resurrection influence on the gutted world is evident, even though his identity is not." Isn't this a beautiful illustration of prevenient grace? You don't have to recognize Jesus to experience the fruitful blessing of his risen presence. We can't go back. Nor should we wish to. Because Christ did not call us back to the way things were, but to the future, where people need to be fed and nurtured. The world now is not the same world that was weeks, months, years ago. People often say, "I would love to go back into the 50s and 60s when you could just open up the door of a church and people would flock in. This church had two services." But we can't go back. Christ doesn't call us to go back to that. Christ calls us forward. And yet, if we're honest, there are times it feels like it's all in vain. Nothing's working. We can't seem to make things happen. However, and people don't seem to be getting the message. However, if we let him, Jesus will feed us with abundant grace. Perhaps there have been times you felt despair because you felt like you let Christ down in some way. You didn't reach out to somebody that you thought you should have, for whatever reason. Take heart. The grace of God is there for you, just as it was for Peter, who denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. You know, several years ago, we went through our New Beginnings program. And I know some of you think it was a big waste of time and money. But think about it. Out of that experience, we have claimed a vision. A vision of feeding God's people physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Out of that experience, we've started concerts at the First Presbyterian Church. Thanks in great part to Howard Kupferman. out of that experience, we started our fundraiser, our Argyle Fish and Chips dinner. But it's more than a fundraiser. It's a fellowship event for those of us who work it. And it's a way to reach out and touch people. And we've done that thanks to efforts like by people like Paul Wormuth and Lloyd Pateman and many others. This dinner not only raises money for the church, it also has fed over 80 people for free who have trouble putting food on their table on a regular basis. We have fed and supported people and families with our support of family promise, of the crop walk, of the Bridges program, of working at the food bank. And there are other things that we're doing. But there are other things we can be doing. We have a street fair coming up on April 24th. We need people to work at it. We need people to say, this is what our church is doing. This is what we believe God is calling us to do and be, and to share that. And we need people to help. And we also need people there to sell tickets to our fish and chips dinner. On May 7th, as we heard, we're going to be going to the food bank again. Sorting food so that others may have food to put on their table. Jesus calls us to Galilee. Now, Jesus is not calling us to Galilee in the Middle East. Our Galilee is the future. Jesus is calling us into the future to feed his sheep. We cannot go back to the days when things were different. We can only go forward and do the best we can at feeding and nurturing God's people and relying on the grace of God, the abundant grace of God. Amen.